Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I've got a good show for you today, and we're able to get back a returning guest, and he's really good, and we're going to dive into some of the nuts and bolts of investing. And, you know, I know that when you look at the market, you go, golly, this is happening or that's happening, or, you know, the market is recovering, so things are looking better and I should go all in, or no, I'm not going to get burned again. And then maybe you keep your money in cash and you miss out. And you feel like, you know, you're kind of a pinball getting bounced around the pinball machine. Well, we're going to sort it out. Craig Israelson is a great guest to have back. He does a lot of interesting work and a great background. Do a quick introduction. PhD in Family Resource Management, Brigham Young University. He's taught at Brigham Young for 9 years and also University of Missouri, Columbia for 14 years. He's developed the 712 portfolio and also the author of three books, one by the same name, 712, A Diversified Investment Portfolio with a Plan. Imagine that. And he's also a frequent writer for Financial Planning Magazine. He got a couple of recent articles that we saw that said, let's get Craig back and talk with us again. And I admire what Craig does both professionally, but also check this out. He's completed the Boston Marathon 5 times. Very impressive. He still hasn't won yet. I'm hoping that you will, Craig. Welcome back.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping that I can see the finish line first. But it's funny, 1 year I was in a really good position, and then the gun went off.
Well, I know you will like this. Maybe you're just too heavy. You know, maybe you need to lose like 50 pounds, right?
Yeah, right.
My father-in-law, who's done his share of running and also marathons and ran Boston, he said that if people don't ask you, are you sick? Are you all right? Then you probably haven't lost enough weight to run.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm 6'2 and about 150. So.
Oh, good grief. You're already lean enough then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I admire it. 5 times qualified. I mean, just to qualify, my wife is just qualified to run her second Boston in 2017. So I know what it takes to do that. And it's, of course, a wonderful analogy. Nothing is lost here, Craig. It's a wonderful analogy for building your finances and your investment portfolio to run the race long term, not to run a sprint or not to necessarily stop at every bathroom stop, every water break, stop and, you know, for pictures and selfies along the race, because then you won't finish or your time will be horrible.
Well, I think those are all accurate metaphors. In addition, we probably shouldn't. I know from experience that 3 miles into it, 5 miles into it, we're feeling really good. Well, we're not going to feel really good 22 miles into it.
Yeah.
And so we have to pace our enthusiasm. We have to pace our aggressiveness and then flip that around.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of pertaining to what you said at the intro, that clearly there are pockets of time where we can be sort of discouraged by the whole investing thing. Certain asset classes are being nasty, and so we need to pace our discouragement, and what that's called is recency bias.
Yeah. I went right to that article. That was how to help clients to focus on the little picture. That was in September 15th for Financial Planning Magazine, and that really struck me the right way, because I've dealt with this, of course, working with clients and helping them understand this recency bias. And so just give people a quick kind of overview of what's going on with this and, you know, 1999 and then, you know, some of this different historical perspective that you talk about. Remind everybody of what we've lived with since the late 90s and how this recency effect can really get in their way.
Well, I mean, during the 90s, the most looked at benchmark of investing performance is the S&P 500. And so that particular measure of one market, actually just one aspect of one market.
That's right. Large caps.
U.S. large cap companies.
Yeah.
That becomes the barometer for many, many investors. And it's not it's not a bad index. It's just one of many indexes. It's one of many ingredients in a diversified model. And so during the 1990s, the S&P was just on a tear, positive,
right.
Great returns.
Right.
People began to expect that they could run really fast for 26 miles.
That's right.
And well, there are very few people in the world that can run 26 miles at a 5 minute per mile pace.
Yeah.
And there are no asset classes in the universe, none, that can maintain the kind of return that the S&P 500 was generating between, say, 1992 and 1999. And so that's where, I mean, that's a classic case of recency bias.
Sure.
People expected the S&P to do 24% a year.
Right. Why not? It did it. Why wouldn't it keep doing it, right? That's the thinking.
Yeah. And the flip side is commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of investment that has any connection to oil or basically energy has gotten beaten up for the past couple of years.
Right.
That's not necessarily the signal to abandon those asset classes. In fact, it's just we have to teach ourselves this basic investing lesson over and over. When things are on sale, that's kind of a signal as a good time to buy. And when things have had this nice run with several years of very robust returns, that's kind of a signal to lighten up on that, maybe to sell a portion. And that's very intuitive. I think most people can say, yep, that's the deal. Buy low, sell high.
Yeah, makes sense, right? So why do they struggle?
I think the struggle, well, we don't struggle in the retail world.
Right.
You know, when a store advertises a sale, when a car manufacturer advertises a sale, that's our cue.
Right.
In we go. I think the disconnect between our retail response to a, quote, sale and our investor response to a decline in asset class, i.e. a sale, is that somehow there's this notion that things have changed and it's different now.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular asset class that is tumbling will never come back.
Hmm.
You know, it's permanently in the grave. That, I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I think that's the phenomena, or it's some aspect of the phenomena. But we lose confidence in cash. We lose confidence in commodities. We lose confidence in international stocks. And all we really have to do is to look at 30, 40 years of data, and we see this ebb and flow of every single asset class that we can invest in. Every single one ebbs and flows. And so the idea that whatever's happening now is a new phenomena that we've never seen before because a certain asset class is having kind of a bad period, that completely ignores all the history we know, which is every asset class has taken a turn being a stinker.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think what you just described, Craig, all of that requires some thought, some time, some energy, some research. And it may simply be that that's not expedient. That's not as easily referenced as is perhaps looking at the 24/7 bombardment from the news cycle. And, you know, today's top stock or, you know, look at what the market's doing today. There's so much, you know, I never see a segment on any of these television shows, the network news or the, you know, all the cable. I never see them going back and describing what you and I just talked through. I never talk about the historical perspective on asset classes. It's always, you know, today, and let's talk about tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the old adage, planes that crash make the news.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple of solutions. they're somewhat hard. We have to wean ourselves off right. of the constant monitoring right. of our investment accounts.
That's right.
We need to wean ourselves off of that. Even though we can check them every day, it doesn't mean we should.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things we can do,
right.
but we shouldn't.
Right. Being able to do something doesn't mean you should do it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the other way we could sort of test our philosophy or test our logic, let's say we're talking with somebody about an investment and we're interested in it. And so we ask, how did it do last week? I mean, is that a logical question? How did it do? How did it perform in 1 week? We typically would ask, so how has that done over the last 5 or 10 years?
Right, right.
I mean, we go to the long term when we're doing our homework.
Right.
Okay, well, if we go to the long term results, and frankly, 5 years isn't long term. In my world, 20 years is long term.
Right.
But we naturally want to get as much historical perspective as we can on a investment proposal, on an investment idea. And then, if we turn around after having implemented that idea, if we turn around and check it weekly, that is completely philosophically inconsistent.
Come on, Craig. I want results, and I want them now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like raising kids, and, you know, they're two, and you think, you know, how come you're not doing calculus? Or
That's
we
right.
plant an oak tree.
Right.
Check it the next day.
Come on.
What in the world are you checking it for? I mean, it's an oak tree, for crying out loud.
So part of this is our patience, our attention span, all of those things that have kind of changed in our modern world. It's very interesting to talk through. Craig Israelson, ladies and gentlemen, our returning PhD and keen student of this whole area, and the book is 712, A Diversified Investment Portfolio with a Plan. 712 portfolio, numeral 7, you write out 12 portfolio, 712portfolio.com. Quick break, we'll come right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we are back. Craig Israelson, PhD, on the line. And he's written the book 712, A Diversified Investment Portfolio with a Plan, and several other, by the way, well-received books, and ongoing contributor to Financial Planning Magazine, financial-planning.com, and the website 712portfolio.com. You know, just to kind of hit the real key point that I know that you are talking about, Craig, and it's something, of course, that I do with my investment team every day. You know, we have a process for this. Is you talked about the historical performance of different asset classes. These are just different categories of investments, different types of investments, large cap, small cap, mid cap, international, domestic, you know, all of these different things, areas of investing that we hope in pulling them together, you know, gives us this diversification that we think is prudent, historically has been shown to be certainly helpful in doing some, I guess, eating into or helping with risk overall. And so when people look to invest, you know, we're not talking about just picking an index or picking a stock or anything like that. What we're really driving at is the diversification and why that is something that is going to have some areas of that portfolio do better than others, because as you said, they ebb and flow.
That, I think, is the hardest part of diversifying.
Yeah.
What you just said is that we tend to look at the ingredients more than the final outcome. In other words, my favorite analogy is salsa, and you know, I don't really care what's in the salsa if I like the salsa.
Right.
You know, I don't microanalyze the cilantro to tomato ratio.
Right.
my taste buds tell me, oh, I like that one, or I'm not so keen on that one. And so the overall diversified portfolio result is really all that matters. And when we microanalyze and micro criticize the individual elements of the model, that's when people start picking it apart.
And when they do that, they of course are going down a path of becoming no longer diversified, and a very convenient, even though it's getting further and further in the rearview mirror, but I know you won't soon forget it, neither will I, is back with that 2000, 2001, 2002 time period after those ebullient 90s that we talked about before, that, you know, cumulative market decline for the three-year period was around 47 or so percent S&P 500 again. But for those people who found themselves buying into or were sold on or thought was a good idea, the idea of loading up, quote-unquote, loading up on technology stocks because it was a new world, it was different this time, it was the information age, those people, of course, saw declines 70, 80%.
Right, yeah. When you get out of balance, you are, particularly as we get out of balance by chasing performance.
Yeah.
We tend to set ourselves up for a dramatic decline. I mean, during the real estate bubble pop,
yeah,
the homes, the more expensive homes declined more.
Sure.
Because they had more room to fall. And so if people, and this is going to influence or affect all of us, you know, if we become performance chasers, if we chase what was hot last year, last quarter, last month, we generally are positioning ourselves to have a dramatic decline simply because by the time that the broad scale media starts to hype a particular asset class as being the real hot performer, most of that fuel is spent in that rise of that asset class.
Yeah.
By the time it hits the media, the broad media, it has to have enough positive performance to get on the radar, because the radar is chasing the hot stuff.
That's right.
By the time it's there, it's probably too late. And I can give you some actual hard data on that. If we view the 7-12 portfolio, which is a 12 asset model, as kind of a benchmark, excuse me, over the 15-year period from 2000 through 2014, a simple, straightforward investment in a broadly diversified 12 asset model returned about 7.5%, 7.5. If, on the other hand, at the end of every year, we looked at that 12-asset model and said, what was my best performing ETF? I'm giving you ETF numbers.
Sure.
What was my best performer? And we say, that's what I want to put the money in for this coming year. So we move all of our money into last year's best performing ETF. If we did that over the 15-year period, our performance was 0.09.
Where did 7.75 go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so basically, as we chase performance, we might get lucky for a couple of years. But on average and over time, we are going to typically devastate our investment. And that doesn't even, and we're not even considering the emotional and time disruptions in that
right.
process. In other words, we've probably all heard circumstances where the grandparents die, and the kids and grandkids are going through their materials, and they find some old stock certificates of a railroad company, and they take them down and they try to value them. They discover that they have phenomenal value. Simply because they bought and they waited.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, that isn't just a carte blanche suggestion that we always just buy and hold. But given the frenetic nature of too many investors nowadays, I would say that we all could take on a big dose of buy and hold to offset sort of the frantic mode that many people get into because of their over-checking, over-analyzing, over-evaluating their portfolio. So I think a healthy dose of buy and hold in a diversified portfolio would help correct a lot of the, well, to me, the nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you know, Craig, if the sauce is good, you don't have to put cranberries in it.
Right.
Right. I mean, and you know, to your point about, you know, messing with and monkeying with and going in and saying, hey, you know, I really like garlic, or I really like, you know, the cilantro, and doggone it, let's just load up on that. Well, now you don't have sauce anymore. You've got garlic paste. So, you know, it's I think it's an excellent metaphor for, you know, this kind of thinking. Let's grab another quick break. Craig Israelson, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, 712portfolio.com. 712, a diversified investment portfolio with a plan. That's the book. Lots more, and we'll grab a quick break.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Craig Israelson on the line with us, 712portfolio.com. You got to write out 12, 712portfolio.com. And the book, 712, A Diversified Investment Portfolio with a Plan. Always like having a plan. You know, I want to jump over and back, Craig, if we can, to, you know, a term that you and I, of course, it's just part of our lingo, but make sure people understand what we're talking about and kind of make a point here. And that is when we start talking about why we want to have different types of investments, and why we want them to be, you know, put together in a certain way and diversified. What we're getting at, of course, is we don't want them to all move in lockstep with the S&P 500 or any other index. You know, we don't want our portfolio to you know, go with the flow with everything else. We want it to be independent. And so by bringing in these other types of investments, other asset classes, you know, we get this this thing that you and I are familiar with of we're trying to create a portfolio that's not correlated so that it will move independently. And for, you know, for people to understand why that's important, I wanted you to speak to that a little bit, because I think it's, that's where, again, some of the pain in the portfolio comes, is if you've got, you know, a market that's really surging ahead and you've got parts of your portfolio that are specifically designed not to move with that surging, that you're going to have some parts that you might consider, you know, to be lagging.
Yeah, and that is a really interesting phenomena, because the phenomena of low correlation. I think most investors intuitively appreciate that a portfolio shouldn't have a bunch of pieces in it that behave just like each other. But the challenge comes in actually living a low correlation portfolio, because what that literally means is if a couple of asset classes are going up, if in fact you have a low correlation portfolio, that means some are going down. That's the only way to have a low correlation portfolio. And that then tests the real philosophical commitment of the investor to what it means not to have a low correlation portfolio, but to live through one.
Right.
Because to live through one, you have to be watching some of your mutual funds or ETFs actually going down.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, where people really, I think, struggle, it's one thing to watch their own portfolios or watch part of it lag behind. Even if it's not going down, it's lagging these, you know, some of these areas of the market. And again, if the S&P 500 or even better yet, Craig, the Dow, which, you know, is now even, we're not talking about 500 stocks now, we're talking about 30. And we're seeing the Dow go up and their friends, maybe their portfolios are going up and you're hearing it on television and they go, well, wait a minute. You know, a lot of my portfolio's into a lot of different things. And tell me again why I don't have all my money in the thing that's going up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a study of human behavior. And it's kind of like, Mitch Kapor, he was the guy who invented and developed Lotus 1-2-3, one of the probably the not the first spreadsheet, but the first big, powerful impact spreadsheet. He said, in his experience, a lot of people want to spend $1 million. Not nearly as many want to earn that much. And so the analogy is that most of us want a low correlation portfolio until it starts behaving like a low correlation portfolio. And if we appreciate the requirements of low correlation, which is something's going up, something's right, going down, then we'll be more patient.
Well, patience is always the key. And I appreciate you coming back on, Craig, and helping us kind of get some perspective on all this. Craig Israelson, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, 712 Portfolio, number 7, right out 12, portfolio.com, 712, a diversified investment portfolio with a plan, and you got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, then you are a pinball. All right, Craig, thanks for coming back. We appreciate your time.
Oh, happy to be here with you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.